Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
John chapter 6, verses 22 to 46. John chapter 6, verses 22 to 46. And keep in mind while we read the passage, they didn't believe. They did not believe. Let's read John chapter 6, verse 22. The day following, now this is the day following the feeding of the 5,000. When the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there, save that one wherein his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone. Howbeit there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread, after that the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum, seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them, and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from the heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven, and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I say unto thee, that ye also have seen me, and believe not. I'm just going to interrupt real quick and show you in verse 29. He said, here's the work. You got to believe on him whom he hath sent. Verse 36, he says, You've seen me, but you don't believe. Verse 37, All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son, and believeth on him, may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then murmured at him, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, Murmur not among yourselves, no man can come to me, except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now that's the third time he said, I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, And they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Now Jesus was thronged the day after the 5,000 people were fed because they wanted more food. He said, You seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. He had used the miracle as an opportunity to get them to believe that he is the one that could give them eternal life, not just temporal life from the bread. But they wouldn't believe him. They just wanted to satisfy their appetite. Now look again at this thing in verses 22 to 27. They knew something miraculous had happened in his disappearance and arrival in Capernaum. That's why they ask him, When camest thou hither? They knew something miraculous had to happen for him to get there in the time that he did, because they knew that he had not gone with the disciples in their boat. They knew that. They also knew something miraculous had happened in that he took 5 loaves and 2 fishes, broke all that, had enough to feed 5,000 men, and then women and children on top of that, and his disciples, and had 12 baskets left over. They knew that. But they wanted to do, really, was satisfy their appetite. In other words, having seen the miracles, they should have thought, hey, man, this guy can really do some things. And Jesus said, you're not here because you saw the miracles. You're here because you ate and you were filled. What's the problem? Their problem is that their attention was on the wrong thing. They wanted more food. They were handout recipients. You know, a lot of these programs that are done internationally for relief of poverty and relief of hunger have a very limited life because, number one, there's no way in the world any government can continue to feed at that rate. And number two, what it teaches the people to do is become dependent upon satisfying their appetite, and they see no greater purpose in it whatsoever. What's the problem? The problem is their God is their belly. That was the problem of these men that had arrived looking for Jesus Christ the day after he had fed them in the miracle of feeding the 5,000. And you know, we have people like that today that are in pulpits. Jesus said about them, or Paul said about them, they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. And by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. They're simply using religion as a means to feed their belly. They're false teachers. Well, if you've got religious people that are hungry, and you've got pastors and teachers that are hungry, then you're going to end up with some very weak, nominal Christians whose only goal is to use God as a means to take care of their flesh. That's what a lot of the miracle working, supposed miracle working, is about today concerning healing. That's what a lot of church is about today, simply exchanging hands. The money is simply changing hands. So people are getting fat off of religion, off of the name of Christ. Philippians chapter 3 says more about that. Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. That's the problem that was going on with these guys. Their mind was on the wrong thing. Who mind earthly things? Paul said about the belly, he said, meats for the belly and belly for the meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. The body has a very limited life, but it has a very powerful voice. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak, Jesus Christ said. And so it's easy to follow the money. It's easy to follow the bread. And the problem with these guys that showed up looking for Jesus is the same thing that is the problem with a lot of people today. They couldn't see spiritually past their gut. The whole of Jesus' preaching the day before when he fed the 5,000 was on the kingdom of God. Remember when we looked at the history of that passage? A couple of days ago, we looked through the companion passages in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Jesus Christ had spent the entire day teaching these people about the kingdom of God, and then, because they had been there the entire day, he fed them. The whole purpose of feeding them and the whole purpose of this discourse with them the day after was to get them to believe. The purpose was not just to feed their belly. They could have easily made it one day without the food. Paul said, I know how to be abased. I know how to abound in whatsoever state there I am, whatever state I am therewith to be content. I know how to be hungry, and I know how to thirst. They could have survived that thing. It was simply to demonstrate that he was worthy of their belief. He told them straight up. Look at verses 28 and 29. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? He had told them, don't labor for the meat that perisheth, but that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. And they said, okay, so what are we going to do to work the works of God? He said, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. That was the whole purpose. He told them straight up, I'm the Son of Man. I'm the one that can give you eternal life. All you need to do is believe on me. God sent me. They wouldn't believe it. They wanted to know where the peanut butter and jelly sandwiches were. The work of God is to believe. You know, a lot of religion today is based on works for salvation. You know that. You may be caught up in one of those religions. I've dealt with numerous people in different religions who say they have to work for God now, and when they die, God will give them the benefit of having eternal life. There are a lot of people that believe that, and that belief is contrary to the direct teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's contrary to the teaching of Paul. It's contrary to the Holy Spirit. It's contrary to God the Father. It's a contrary doctrine. Jesus himself said, you want to know how to work for God? Believe on him whom he hath sent. Period. Romans chapter 4, verse 5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. You know, what's so hard about believing that? What's so hard about believing that is that your God is your belly. What's so hard about believing that is your self-righteousness. You think you have enough righteousness to work something that God would find pleasing so that he can then grant you eternal life. And that's a lie of the devil. That's a lie of the flesh. You're either misled by your belly or misled by your unrighteousness, which you think is self-righteousness. Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. In Ephesians, a very famous verse of Scripture, which you've heard over and over again, all you need to do is believe it. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So salvation today is not a work salvation. It is a gift of God simply by believing Jesus Christ. And that's what he was conveying to the people that had come to see him that day. But they wouldn't believe him. They would not believe him. They wouldn't believe, and that's just like it is today. Whenever we talk with people about their souls and about their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, all we simply want them to do is believe the words of God and believe Jesus. And they will not do it. In great measure. Now, these men had an advantage. They had seen the miracle, and they knew some other things. So let me show you all the things from the text that they wouldn't believe. Number one, they wouldn't believe his miracles. And that's like today. There are a lot of people that will not believe the miracles of the Bible. They are looking for a natural phenomenon. Even concerning the Red Sea that opened for the Jews and for Moses to get out of Egypt and go into the wilderness. Recently had a geologist that giving me an explanation of some natural event that took place like in Turkey or somewhere else that would have caused a phenomenon that caused a great imbalance in the water tables and levels and would have caused that sea to separate. But I said, okay, if that's the case, what dried the ground? Because they didn't go over in mud, they went over on dry ground. So there are a lot of people that like to replace the miracles of God with a natural phenomenon. How are you going to explain taking five pieces of bread, barley loaves, and two little fishes and feeding 5,000 men, their wives and children in addition, and then coming up with 12 baskets of fragments afterwards? And everybody was fed to the full. Now, I'll tell you something. Even Jesus' disciples had a hard time with this miracle. That's just the nature of a human mind and the nature of, in particular, the Jewish mind steeped in religion. It's the nature of the religious mind. They just had a hard time with it. Look back in Mark chapter 8 at verse 14. Mark chapter 8, verse 14, now the disciples had forgotten to take bread. Neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. And he charged them, Jesus is talking to him, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have no bread. You see what their trouble was? They were always minding earthly things. When Jesus knew it, he saith unto him, why reason you because you have no bread? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened? Having eyes, see ye not? Having ears, hear ye not? And do ye not remember when I break the five loaves among the 5,000? How many baskets full of fragments took ye up? They say unto him, 12. And when the seven among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? And they said, 7. And he said unto them, how is it then that you do not understand? I mean, if they only had one loaf and they were hungry, boom, Jesus could give any amount of food that he needed to feed them. Problem is, their mind was on the wrong thing. That's the problem that these Jews had when they came to Jesus in John chapter 6. Their mind was on earthly matters, and they wouldn't believe his miracles. They even said to him in verse 26, "How'd you get here?" And he said, "You seek me not because you saw the miracles." Verse 30, "What sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work?" You mean feeding 5,000 wasn't enough? Skipping over the sea immediately in the middle of a storm wasn't enough? You know what the problem was? Their attention was on the wrong thing. And Jesus had taught about that back in the what's called the Sermon on the Mount, back in Matthew chapter 6. Jesus taught about that problem. He said, "You guys think like Gentiles. Look at you." In Matthew chapter 6, verse 31, Jesus Christ told them specifically, "Therefore, take no thought saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink?" See, that's the big problem they had out there in the wilderness. As soon as they got out into the wilderness when they left Egypt, they started fussing. "We're without food. We're without water. Wah, 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 wah." Jesus fed them. He says, "Don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what you're going to drink. Wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." So what did he tell them to do? He said, get your mind off of earthly matters and start seeking the kingdom of God. Seek his righteousness. And that's what they weren't seeking. You see, he had spent the entire day teaching them on the kingdom of God. They wouldn't believe. All they wanted was the food. Their mind was in the wrong thing. They took thought for what they should eat. They took thought for what they should drink. Jesus had taught them earlier in Matthew chapter 5. He said this, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." And these old guys came here. Jesus Christ said, "I'm the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst." He was dealing with their hunger and thirst for righteousness in their pursuit of the kingdom of God. They couldn't get their mind off of earthly matters. Therefore, they missed the importance and the intention of the miracles altogether. The miracles were designed to get them to believe. And they missed it. They didn't hunger and thirst for righteousness. They hungered and thirsted to fill their bellies. So they wouldn't believe the miracles. I'll tell you something else they wouldn't believe from the text. They wouldn't believe Moses. In verse 31 and 32, our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. You see, Jesus' Father had given them bread, not Moses, and it was intended to prove them. Go back to Deuteronomy chapter 8 and see what this feeding of the manna was all about in the first place. God could have fed them any number of ways, but he fed them this way for a particular reason. Deuteronomy chapter 8, look at verses 2 and 3. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. So that was what the whole purpose of the feeding of the manna was, to get them to live by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Lord. So he'd spent an entire day teaching them out of the mouth of the Lord, and he was teaching them again out of the mouth of the Lord, and all they wanted was the bread. They wanted to live by bread alone. He wanted them to live by the words of God. He gave them the words of eternal life in his very discourse here. He said, labor for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. He gave them the words of eternal life, and they wouldn't accept them. They wouldn't hear them. they should have been looking for the prophet that was promised, that would be like Moses, that was promised in Deuteronomy 18:15 and Deuteronomy 18:18, which we've read several times during this week, and they wouldn't do it. They wouldn't believe Moses. Moses said, it's not about the manna, it's about the words of God. And they had the Word of God, the living Word of God. John said, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, even as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. They wouldn't hear it. They wouldn't believe Him. They wouldn't pay attention to Moses. They didn't believe His miracles. They didn't believe Moses. Tell you something else they didn't believe. They didn't believe His deity. Look in verse 33. For the bread of God is He. It's a man, not the manna, not the physical food. It's a man. The bread of God is He which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. And they wouldn't believe that. Then said they unto him in verse 34, Lord, evermore give us this bread. See, that reminds me of the woman on the well that said, Lord, I'll take that water. And then she figured it out, said to her friend, she said, this is the Messiah. He told me all that ever I did. She didn't drink any water, literally. She took the water of life. And they weren't to eat any bread, literally. They were to take the bread of life. He said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth in me shall never thirst. It's an eternal thing. It's the thirsting and hungering after righteousness. Verse 36, but I said unto you that you also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. All he's telling them is, if you'll come to me, I will receive you. I will not cast you out, and that's it, period, is what he told them. And they wouldn't believe his deity. You see, their salvation was in a man, so is yours. It's not in bread. Now, I know a lot of people, personally, that believe their salvation is in bread. They go to church, the priest does something to the wafer, turns that bread, supposedly, by transubstantiation into the body of Christ. They're to eat that. And their salvation is linked to bread. And I'll tell you something, Jesus Christ clarified it right here. He said, it's not in the bread you eat, it's in a man. The bread of life, I am the bread of life. The bread of God is He which cometh down from heaven. Jesus came down from heaven. There's one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. So their salvation was in God, not in a full belly. When you go back to Deuteronomy chapter 8 and read all the rest of the chapter, from verse 5 all the way to verse 20, you know what God keeps telling them? He keeps telling them over and over again. Verse 7, for instance, he says, the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land. And then he describes that land. But he says to him in verse 10, when thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given me. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. And that's exactly what they did. He told them in verse 18, thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, it is this day. You know what happened to them? They got a full belly and they forgot the Lord God. You know what happened to them in John chapter 6? They got a full belly and they forgot the Lord their God. Jesus showed them right here that he was God, and that he was sent from God, and that he would give them eternal life, and he would not cast them out, and they wouldn't believe him. They wouldn't believe his deity. They wouldn't believe Moses. They wouldn't believe his miracles. They wouldn't believe his resurrection. Look in verse 39. This is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. See that resurrection? This is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Again in verse 44, I will raise him up at the last day. He told him three times. In Ezekiel 37, there is the perfect resurrection of the entire nation of Israel that is saved. He said, the valley of dry bones is all the house of Israel. I will open your graves and I'll put you in the land. In Matthew chapter 22, he had a discussion with the Sadducees who didn't believe in the resurrection, and he told them. In Matthew chapter 22, verses 31 and 32, he said, as touching the resurrection of the dead, have ye not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. God is not the dead of the God of the dead, but of the living. And they wouldn't believe it. Martha believed it. Martha believed in the resurrection. Why couldn't they? Jesus Christ came to her, you know, about her brother, and he said in John 11:23, thy brother shall rise again, talking about Lazarus. Martha saith then, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. She knew it. Of course, she didn't know that he was going to raise her up right there, right, raise him up right there, but he did. She didn't have any trouble with the resurrection of the dead. But these guys here did. They knew that if Jesus Christ were to give them eternal life and they were to die a physical death, that they would have to be raised from the dead in order to enjoy everlasting life. And he promised them to it. And then he told them how he was going to give it to them. But I'll tell you something else they didn't believe in. They didn't believe in his virgin birth, and they didn't believe in the inspiration of Scripture. You see, people talk about the fundamentals of the faith. They're all right here. In verses 41 and 42, the Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Well, they didn't know his father. If they had known his father, they would have known God Almighty. That's what Jesus said to the Pharisees in John chapter 8. He professed that he came down from God, and they said, well, Abraham is our father. And then they said to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. And he said, if God were your Father, you would do the works of God. But you're not. You're of your father, the devil. They didn't believe in Jesus' virgin birth. They didn't believe that Mary had really been overshadowed by the power of the Holy Ghost. And they didn't believe in the inspiration of Scripture. And I need to teach you more about this tomorrow. But he says here in verse 43, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And I will raise him up the last day. You know how he draws him? Through the Word of God in verses 45 and 46. God Almighty himself teaching them right out of the Scripture so that they would hear and be drawn to God. But I need to teach you more about that. So in the meantime, rest with this and notice that the Pharisees, or these Jews that were gathered there, were thinking of temporal matters. Therefore, they wouldn't believe his miracles. They wouldn't believe Moses. They wouldn't believe his deity. They wouldn't believe his virgin birth. And they wouldn't believe his resurrection. Don't be caught in the same trap.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241 6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.